Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. How do medical students learn about the body? Right now, I'm looking at a very famous painting that speaks to that question. I'm at the University of Pennsylvania at one of the oldest parts of the medical school. So I'm looking at this painting. There is a woman on the operating table. She is only half covered, which was rather scandalous at the time. And doctors are performing a mastectomy on her. And the amphitheater is filled with medical students craning their necks, eager to get a better view of what is happening. Of course, you've guessed it by now. I'm looking at a replica of the Agnew Clinic, painted by Thomas Eakins in 1893. A lot has changed in the past 100-plus years in terms of medical education, but the thing that does remain the same is that eager look of anticipation on the faces of medical students. The Pulse's Ilana Gordon recently caught up with first-year med students at Rowan School of Osteopathic Medicine in New Jersey for their first-ever anatomy lab.
It's a Friday afternoon, and some 75 bright-eyed first-year med students, most in their early 20s, are about to meet the very first patient of their formal medical training.
I'll be interested to see, like, how emotional I'll be.
Frances Ding doesn't know what kind of doctor she wants to be, but says today marks a turning point.
I think, like, you get into medical school and you're, like, convinced that you want to do it, but until you've had that experience, it's really hard to be, like, 100% sure.
For Megha Mandalewala, a lot of buildup to this day came from family.
Even in India, my uncles, who were doctors in India, said, like, that's, like, the first thing you do, you know? And, like, my parents, when they found out I was going to med school, they're like, oh, when does anatomy lab start? Like, that was the first thing they asked. Because they know that that's how you learn. Like, the body is so fundamental.
She peeked in the lab yesterday just to scope it out and prepare herself.
I'm, like, a little bit nervous, but I mean excited. But at the same time, like, you have to understand, like, it's weird that we get excited about these things, I think. Like, you know, it's a weird emotion to have. Like, most people don't get excited to see, like, a dead body, so to speak.
It's going to be pretty intense.
Samuel Werner, an aspiring primary care doctor, is steps away from entering the lab.
There's an overwhelming presence that there are dozens of vessels which once carried souls within that room. And no matter how we dismantle them, you can't hide what their original purpose was.
All right, so here we go. We're walking into the lab now, so...
Yeah. Everyone looks so, like, official and, like...
This is, like, our first time, like, actually wearing scrubs for... not for fun. So this is, like, extra official, like, walking in.
The first thing that hits you in here is the smell. The lab is large and mostly bare, but reeks of embalming chemicals. About a dozen bodies wrapped in cloth and plastic rest on metal tables. The heads and almost everything else are completely covered, except for the chest cavity. Totally exposed, wide open, bleeding shades of bright burgundies and browns. The lab has two sessions. Students in the alternating one had already made the first incisions, peeling back the skin. Werner, Mandalewala, and Ding break off into different groups, with five students per table. Today's assignment? Removing and examining the heart.
It's very lumpy.
Slimy, too.
Like, in textbooks, you know, everything has a very defined shape. That is not the case at all. Everything, I feel like, kind of is the shape it is to fit in the body. Oh, my God. Okay, they're going to cut the phrenic nerve.
Call it adrenaline, youthful science lab excitement, or future doctor instincts kicking in. Okay. Whatever apprehension Ding and others had going in, gone.
He's cutting the rib right now so we can have more space to actually go into the cavity. Okay, there you go. That's an interesting sound.
The only information students get about their bodies is the age, cause of death, and the sex. That's it. No names. But Rocco Carcia, Rowan's longtime anatomy teacher, says students will get to know them very well.
The way we approach it here, we make the cadaver their first patient. And so everything that goes along with that, the uncertainties. They learn secrets about the cadaver that probably the patient themselves never really realized.
Thank you.
Karsia doesn't lead any part of the class. Instead, he walks around, checking in as students take charge. The point is for them to integrate what they learn here into their clinical development. Werner and others focus on removing the heart without disrupting other important nerves and parts of the body. It's an art.
Right now, we will be exposing the inside of the ventricle.
Does it seem like a healthy heart?
Yeah, I mean, the patient was 107 years old, and the patient is in pretty incredible shape at the moment of death.
Over the next 2 hours, students peel back layers, trying to identify and understand all the different chambers and arteries. I catch one woman gasp as she first lays eyes on the intricate tree branch-like patterns of the heart muscles. As the three-hour lab comes to a close, Mandalay Wala and others provide, in some ways, the only real care they can to the bodies.
Can we get another paper towel right around here?
Redressing and wrapping them up.
There you go.
Spraying them with fluids to preserve them. It's intimate. Then they filter out and debrief.
Finally, it feels like I'm in med school, you know?
Ding says the experience has been validating.
I'm kind of surprised to see how easy I was able to kind of dissociate, like, the task of what I was doing from, like, the person, the patient.
I was literally holding in my hands a human heart. Not only a human heart, but a heart that belonged to a human.
Werner is still processing, thinking about how the experience is changing his view of his own mortality and choices.
I could see reflected in my hands the life that she chose to lead. Once you hold that, how can you not, moving forward, enter into a new life where you won't consciously be thinking about what choices you make will have on the physical reality around you?
After the year-long course comes to a close this spring, the donated bodies are cremated and returned to their families. Students will hold a memorial service where they'll read essays, recite poetry to honor those who donated their bodies. But for now, in what was just moments ago a booming room full of life and energy, these bodies rest, wrapped up, waiting till next class to serve as silent teachers for this next generation of doctors. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.